I'll take that. It's fine. Yeah, thank you. Just once again, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. And in his absence, Pastor Jimmy, I have met him about 9 years ago, and I had a great time being here. I was on my own with my Japanese band. Japanese band's a little iPod. And my guitar. This time I brought some reinforcements, my wife and our sons, and thank you very much. Also wish to extend my thanks to, how do you pronounce your surname again? Sadoval, ne? Sandoval. The Sandoval sons, Isaiah and Micah, for preparing the house. We're staying in their home, and they very graciously, you know, prepared the place. And thank you very much, guys, for sharing your space with us. Appreciate that. Thank you. And we will report to your parents. You've done them proud. Wonderful, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are such a good Father. Forgive us, Lord, if we've judged you in a way that suits ourselves. Help us, Lord, to understand you in a greater way than our little minds can perceive. And I ask, as I would share this word, that Holy Spirit would give us clarity and would take every straying thought from every person's mind right now in Jesus' name. We cancel out everything and bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to bring your attention to a prayer that's a very popular prayer that Jesus himself introduced to us. And I believe this is a prayer for living. Every believer in Jesus Christ should be praying this prayer every day. I really believe that. Now, I was introduced to this prayer when I was a little 2-3-year-old little toddler in preschool. They taught it to us in my mother tongue, which is Afrikaans. English is not my first language. So they taught me to pray, Onse Vader, wat in die hemel is, laat u naam geheilig word, and so it goes on, but we'll do this in English. So won't you turn your attention to Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9, and Jesus speaking, he says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Powerful, powerful prayer, but I'd like to home in on the first line. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In my language it says, laat u naam geheilig word. It means, let your name be made holy. There's another translation, another English translation that says, may I bring honor to your name. I like that translation because it brings a whole lot more clarity to what Jesus is trying to say to us here in this thing. Now, let me just give you some background. As a young boy, I grew up without a father. I had a very distorted idea of father. The impression I had of a father was one who would just go around impregnating every woman he could find, irrespective of what background she had, etc., etc. And so he took my mother's virginity at the age of 14 and impregnated her when she was 15 years of age. She gave birth to my older brother, and at the age of 17, she fell pregnant with me. And this was her second, they call it a mistake. And let me just make a correction here. When you get up to holy things, you know what you're doing. Don't call it a mistake. And please don't call the child a mistake either. Because God makes no mistakes. But then she came along with her second, and this is another word that I don't like, referred to children who have been born out of wedlock. Illegitimate. There are no illegitimate children. The parents are the ones who do the illegitimate things, that do the offense to God. And many times, these children that are born outside of wedlock are actually treated in such a way as though they are scum of the earth, as they are useless, good for nothing, so and so's. And it's never the child's fault. When God gives that child an opportunity to be in your mother's womb or in that mother's womb, he blows into that child the breath of life. He gives the best gift, which is life. Amen? Amen. And so my mother was offered the opportunity to kill, as in abort, backstreet abortion, get rid of this child. But she said to herself, I'm not going to become a murderer. I'm not going to offend God another time, but I'm going to give this child a chance and I'm going to work my full term. She ran away from home, and another auntie down the road gave her some place to stay, etc., and she went full term and gave birth to this little baby. And so, just for you to understand why I'm making so much noise this morning, excuse me if your ears were hurting, but my heart is full of grateful thanks to God. And if God has been so good to me, nothing and no one is going to shut me up. All right. Amen? Because he's been very good to me. I've been given the gift of life, and I celebrate this life that God has given to me. But with this came a whole lot of challenges. How do I face up to this guy who's my next door neighbor? Impregnates my father, doesn't take his responsibility to raise his children. Now, with this, I want to say, any man can make a baby. But it takes a man to raise a son. Amen. And marry the woman, and then have the son. And spend time to raise that son. Spend his energies, his monies, etc., etc. Go to the child's school and watch them play. Watch them perform. That's a daddy. I didn't have that. I had to fight my way through. Whenever there was a fight at school, there was always the Samson brothers. I'm talking about the other two Samson brothers, my brother and I. That 5 minutes after school. Whenever there was a crowd gathering, they knew there were these two boys that were always involved. Why? Because there was the absence of the father. They didn't understand protection. They didn't understand correction. They didn't understand authority. They didn't understand the father's love. And so they were just going around doing their own thing. They were a law unto themselves. And so change came into my life when I was 13 years of age, only 13. And I said yes to Jesus. And I was introduced to the father's love. And I didn't quite understand it. I understood Jesus. Because I had a lot of other buddies that, you know, treated me like a buddy. So Jesus was easy to understand, but the Father was difficult because my vision and my understanding of the Father was so distorted. I would give more attention to a woman because the women were the ones who raised me and disciplined me in my family and also in my neighborhood. You got to understand this. And so when Jesus came into my life, change came. I'd accept myself for who I was made to be. There was a lot of identity challenges here. Now, some of you are looking at me trying to figure out, what is he? Is he Mexican? He's got a bit of a mustache. is he Indonesian? Or is he Eritrean? Or is he from Ethiopia? No. God's son. But I'm of mixed race. That's what they call us, people of mixed race. And a lot of times, people of mixed race go through a lot of identity challenges because you're neither white nor black nor of a particular ethnic tribe, etc. So there's nothing to be proud of. But I wonder what I want to say is that God brought the correction in the bloodline when I said yes to Jesus. I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And at the same time, that curse of messing around, you know, that curse of like father, like son, that thing that people put on you, that curse was broken in the name of Jesus when I said yes to Jesus. There's some people that say, if your father was such and such, then you're going to become such and such. If your father was up to such and such, then you're going to get up to such and such. No, I broke that curse in the name of Jesus. Why? Because God became my father. And even though I didn't quite understand it fully at the time when I said yes to Jesus, I grew into the idea, like our children grew into the whole idea that I am their father and that is their mother. They didn't realize straight away, but it was drummed into them. Mommy, mommy, daddy. We don't do that. Mommy, daddy, grandpa, grandma. And so the family was functioning. There was stuff to put into place to make our children understand that this is something that you need to appreciate. Now, even though I didn't know and understand how to raise a son or a daughter, God helped me. And the revelation of Father's love came into being when, 28 years ago, when our daughter was born in England. My wife was in labor for 36 hours, from the Thursday to the Saturday. I went in there really happy, so and so. And next thing, there was one doctor missing on my wife. Next night, another doctor miss on my wife, and then another doctor miss. And next thing, I want to become a boxer. Because this was getting too much. I want to see my baby. We want our baby to be born. Don't want the child to be in distress. I don't want my wife to lose her life in this whole process. Is this thing on or is it off now? Is it on? It's on, okay. I don't want my wife to lose her life in the process, but I want to see my baby. And I had these feelings of excitement, these feelings of incredible joy. I'm going to see my baby. I'm going to see my offspring. Wow. We waited 9 months to see this to happen. And when it happened, after 36 hours, there were like 14 people in the theater. I'm of Pentecostal background. And I broke out in glossolalia. You know glossolalia? You don't speak in tongues, yeah? That's tongues. And I just went. And these people thought this man from Africa is losing his mind. I just went as loud as I wanted. Give me my baby. This is my baby. And I kissed the baby with blood and all this stuff that's on there. I love you. What happened? Father revealed to me that moment how much he loves me. And then the boys came. And more revelation. Jason came 4 years later. David came 2 years after Jason. And David came. And so there was this love for these children, this privilege that I have to become a father, to be a father to these children. And so it was a learning process to father them. Now here goes. Let me take you back to this piece of scripture. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let me bring honor to your name. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I need to honor Father God with my way of life. First of all, as a husband to the same wife. Remember I mentioned we've been married for 29 years, uninterrupted. And there's been no, we call it in South Africa, nyaga nyaga. You know, this thing of going around, little fling there, you know, give a little kiss there, flirt a little. No, none of that. Why? Because I know who's my father. Because I know who's my father. My father is watching me and is expecting me to honor him, is expecting me to behave myself and walk in love with my wife and never to abuse her, never to even verbally abuse her. There's never been once that I used a swear word on my wife. I promise you that. Why? Because I've invited Spirit into here, into this temple. And he abides in me. And I am aware of the fact that he is ever present. He's with me all the time because he promises so. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you until the end of time. Amen? And so, Holy Spirit is the grace that is upon me and upon my wife to be able to raise these children, that we walk carefully, that we behave ourselves in our marriage. Because our Father is watching us. And that we are a good example to our children. We put into our children the fear of God. In my family, everything don't go. You can ask them. Yeah. I have such fear for God that whoever wants to come and infiltrate with all kinds of stuff that would offend my God, I kick that thing right out of my family in the name of Jesus. We're living in a new dispensation. You know, changing, you know, children have friends. I say, hey, listen, that thing, you leave right out of that my door. This is my house. I'm the priest of this house. God is the father of my house, of my life, and I will honor him. If you come into my house with someone else's disciplines, someone else's ill discipline, someone else's other stuff, out of here in the name of Jesus. And you ask them, I did it to them. We put the fear of God in them. Now, it goes like this, and it's unfortunately that some ministers' children leave the kingdom or the gospel
or the faith of the church when it comes to 18, 19, 20, 21. They go and do their own thing. You know, they just had enough of church, had enough of Jesus, etc., etc., etc. And we can honestly say God has been good to us. We've had our challenges, teenage challenges. We've had some heavy challenges. But we stayed consistent in praying for them, number one. And we stayed consistent in honoring our Father with our lifestyles so that this heritage in the faith can be passed on to our children. And it is our hope and it is our sincere desire that they will pass it on to the next generation, because that's how this thing is passed on, from generation to generation to generation. The goodness and the faith in God needs to be passed on. Now, don't you leave this decision to your government. When your government says stop praying, tell them go to wherever you need to go to. But I will raise my children in the fear of God, and I will make sure that my children honor my God and our Father, who is the one who gives us life, who gives us the provision. And God is able, listen, God is able to just do this, just sneeze, and America's gone. Yeah, this great superpower, so-called. Just one little sneeze by the living God. But he's so gracious and he's so patient with us. And he's saying, listen, I'm sending Africans from Africa to remind you of the goodness of Father, of the love of a Father who is in heaven. He loves you. His kingdom has come to America years ago. And you guys have spread this message of the kingdom to us in Africa. Now, Karen Lafferty is one of the people that helped me to understand the reason why I have this gifting of making music, and it needs to be shared with others. She's from Santa Fe. She came all the way to South Africa to give me the impression of not only the Father's love for me, but the Father's love for others. So he loves me so much that he's gifting me and he's empowering me and he's given me so much tools that others may benefit. Like Jason has rightfully said, others have to benefit from what Father has given to you. This is not just some cozy gospel so that you can get up, go to church, go to work, have your meal, have your children, retire, and that's it. No! There's a function. There's a reason for you and I to be here. Not to work towards retirement. There's a reason for you to be here that others will benefit. Others, Lord. Others, Lord. Others, Lord. Let this my motto be. And I'm happy to say that wherever I go, I make sure that my Father is honored with my behavior. When I mount a platform, every platform I get onto, whether it be secular, now I know I have got a voice, I can sing, I've got talent. But that's not for sale to the devil. This good music belongs to God. And this talent needs to charge the atmosphere with the presence of Jesus. Amen. And when I'm aware of the presence of Jesus, I go into worship. Wherever I go. And every platform that I mount, I turn into an altar for God. It's not a platform to sell CDs. And yeah, thank God for the CDs that are sold, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not a platform to popularize myself, but it's a platform that we can lift up Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And what did the Father say? If you glorify my Son, I will be satisfied with you. Glorify my Son. And so this is our function as Christians here on earth. Glorify Jesus Christ and you please the Father. And so we will walk in love. We will walk in forgiveness. That father that has distorted your vision of father, you need to release him. I had to release my father. Yeah? You cannot judge God by the way your father has dealt with you. It's unfair. Sir, it's unfair. If he's taken your smile off your face, put it back by allowing for Father God to reveal his love for you, that you can smile again. Can have joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know what? People will see Jesus in your eyes and they will be drawn to you. Wherever you go, people will follow you. They will say, I want what you got. I want to go where you go. I want that fragrance. And the Bible says you are the fragrance of Jesus in the nostrils of Father God. Yeah. And a beautiful fragrance is pleasing. or shall I say, brings honor to God. So with my lifestyle, with my words, with my deeds, with my everything, with my just the way that I go about my life, am I pleasing God? And so in closing, I want to ask you, my dear friends, brothers, sisters in the Lord, God has given us a rich heritage in the faith. God, our God, Father God is a holy God. He wants to be honored with your and my life. And so the word to you this morning is, behave yourself. Behave yourself. Smile. Share the love. Share the peace. Don't be rude. Don't be unkind to the wife of your youth. Don't be unkind to your children. Don't be unkind to your neighbor. Spend yourself on others at all times. I said, spend yourself on others at all times. And Father God will take note of what you do, and He'll pour out a blessing upon your life like what you will never be able to contain. And I'm not talking about monetary terms only, because God has everything in His hands, everything in His hands, and He's able. I said, God is able to see you through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for the good news that we've been able to share in Jesus Christ. Good news to other people about the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you do love us in a special way. And we accept that and we receive that right now in Jesus' name.